as we continue to consider about being a pillar and ground of the truth. Olmsted Baptist Church is one of the Lord's churches, a pillar and ground of the truth here in this region and community. There comes responsibility with that, knowing what it is that we're to be the pillar and ground of. And we started with the Great Commission that the Lord has given to His churches, that of proclaiming the gospel to every creature and preaching repentance unto them, that they need to repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of their souls. The next part is that of baptism. And that third part is the teaching to observe all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded. And so we're taking a look at this at baptism. We looked at it in the Gospels and how it's speaking of that of baptism, putting us under the water, that action there and what it typifies, what it represents. It tells about Christ and what He's done for us, tells about what's happened to us, what He's done for us. But what we want to do then, and what we've been in pursuit of, is taking a look in the epistles to the churches. First Corinthians chapter 12, where we see that by baptism we are baptized into His body. And so that's talking about that physical baptism that we engaged in as members of Olmsted Baptist Church, whether it was here or at another church of like faith and order. You were baptized into His body. The universal church people and folks that hold to that doctrine would say, well, there it is. See, when you're baptized just generally. And, of course, they believe that salvation puts you in the body of Christ. And so there's a lot of confusion about the church of the Lord and the family of the Lord. But we understand it to be His local church. That's the body that's being spoken about there in 1 Corinthians 12. And we are baptized into that body. Baptism, physical baptism, is the entrance into His type of church. He's the leader, and we are members put together in that one body. Individual members, but yet unified in Him and His kind of churches. And then we took a look Sunday at Colossians chapter 2, where it spoke about being buried with Him in baptism. And of course, that's not that baptism that was administered unto us. It typifies what happens, but it's that which John preached about, telling us that the Lord Jesus is the one that shall baptize with the Holy Spirit. Salvation, visitation of the Lord, immersion in the Spirit of God, if you will, not the way the charismatics take it and view it, but it is a spiritual affair, the Spirit of God living within the individual, and thereby we are saved. And so we saw about that, and that's speaking to the church at Colossae. It's speaking to us, one of the Lord's churches. And so baptism typifies it. It is a type of that happening to us, to show that. And we testify with the physical baptism. We testify of that unto the church that we join, to those that may be visiting, and to the world round about us. We want to go tonight to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, these churches, it's not just one church, but the churches of Galatia, the churches of Asia, part of the churches there in Asia Minor. Judaism had been drummed up amongst them. They are adding works unto salvation. There are those that want to bring in the law, ceremonial law, sacrificial law, maybe even the moral law, possibly, but certainly those ceremonial and sacrificial. And they're pushing that towards the Gentiles that are there in Galatia. And so the apostle has to write to them about that subject and deal with them about it. And that's what this book is about. What's the book of Galatians about? Well, it's about adding something to Christ. That's what it's about. Is the gospel that is accursed? It's an accursed gospel where we add something to Christ for somebody to be saved. Okay, Christ is the Savior of sinners by repentance and faith, by His graciousness, and that alone. He's the Savior. It doesn't depend on what you do. In doing something to gain merit, favor, payment, trade, promise, work with the Lord. Salvation is by faith in what the Lord Jesus has done for sinners. And that, and thereby, the reason that the design is that way, the reason it's that way, is that the Lord might be glorified. As sinners believe, the Scripture tells us, as folks believe, faith to faith, the righteousness of God is revealed. Christ's righteousness is the one that gives righteousness unto the believer, to the sinner that has no righteousness of their own. You know, and the good graciousness and mercy and love of the Lord is revealed every time a sinner, an unworthy, which all are unworthy. See, understand that. We say unworthy sinner. Somebody could construe that there are worthy sinners. Don't construe that, because there's not. Every sinner is unworthy. And the goodness, the righteousness of God is revealed when a sinner is saved by the Lord, saved by faith in Him and what He has done, what the Lord Jesus has done. And so here, we don't have time for the whole book, of course, but we want to go to chapter 3, and we want to read down and just gain some context here, and then come to the end of the chapter where we address the subject for tonight about the reference here in this chapter in Galatians regarding baptism and what it shows, what it typifies to you and I that are saved. Remember, these epistles to the churches, they're not to the world. They're not written to the world. Now, the world may gain information. There's good things, good principle, good concept, good doctrine. But these epistles are written to the Lord's churches, which are constituted of His people, saved and in those bodies. Okay, so know that context. We always need to know the context of the Scripture. O foolish Galatians, Galatians chapter 3 starts, who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? The truth that they had received, before whose eyes Christ Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He said, he's saying here, what has happened that you have lapped up some of these things, and some of these things are gaining traction and prominence among you? You had Christ. It was manifested that He was crucified for you. And that's the way you were saved. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law? Is that how the Spirit of the Lord came? Is by the obedience to the law of God? Or by the hearing of faith? We know the answer. It was by faith, wasn't it? Faith in the Lord and what He had promised and what He had said. What He had commanded. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? And so understand, the situation that has come about is not that the children of God need to be obedient unto their Lord that has saved them. What's come about is for you to make sure that you're saved or finish that salvation, you need to be circumcised. For you to make sure that you've got salvation by this Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to do these things of the law too. And that's not the way that it is. Salvation is by the Lord Jesus and Him alone. As He's pointed out, it's by faith. Romans tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's what came to them in Galatia, was the Word of God. And they heard by the wonderful operation of the Lord that we saw in Colossians. And then they believed. Are you so foolish, verse 3, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Or are you, is your salvation made whole in that way? Have you suffered so many things in vain, which as they followed Christ, they would suffer of the Jews of the Jews, of the Gentiles? You know, understand, this land was pagan and heathen. And these people bailed out on what they had known all their lives, to follow this Jew from Nazareth down in Galilee of the land of Palestine, of Israel. What are you doing? And I mean, they suffered for it. Their families wrote them off. The folks that they worked for, no doubt, cut them off and all these things. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he said, He's saying, you know, it's another way of saying, are you saved? Are you really saved? Did you go through all that for the sake of Christ and for nothing? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? A good ministry under the Spirit of the Lord, is that by the keeping of the law? Is that the way that's come, or the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. What do we see there? Again, we're reminded Abraham believed God. He believed him. What did he believe? He believed what the Lord commanded. He believed what the Lord promised. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, Abraham's a Jew. He's not of the nation, but he is a Hebrew. Okay. And Heber on up the line from Abraham is the beginning of the Hebrews. And so this man Abraham is brought in as the Lord, as the apostle writes and deals with, namely Gentiles. And so he's brought in. Why is he brought in? Well, he's been taught about before, no doubt. So you understand, they don't have necessarily the New Testament scriptures, but they've got the Old Testament scriptures about which they were taught, and Christ was preached unto them, and then those things that the apostles witnessed and those that were scattered witnessed and saw were proclaimed unto them. They were saved too. And so he reminds them about Abraham. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. The gospel? See, we have the gospel in its fullness and its entirety and at its climax, if you will, in knowing and understanding, believing and trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham had the good news, the gospel, that the Lord had, to the point that he had revealed it in his day. But the gospel from the beginning, from Adam's day, has always been that the Lord is going to deliver sinners. The Lord is going to save sinners by His way. All of those things being mentioned from the first things that the Lord told Adam, all of those things giving a glimmer and a pointing to Christ. But not telling about Christ in His entirety like you and I have the vantage point today. So this gospel, he reminds them about the gospel that was given unto Abraham. In thee shall all the nations be blessed. Would the Lord back up on that? No, never. It would be. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. He was obedient. And then he, even we that are down here these many hundreds of years ago, as he speaks to this church of Galatia, as the Lord even uses this to speak to us so many millennia down the road, they which be of faith in the Lord are blessed with faithful Abraham. How? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You're going to keep the law? You've got to keep the law always, forever, from the beginning to the end, without even one little skip or failure. And so what is it about the law? I like to bring this point out. I think it makes it clear. At the time that a person says that they maybe saw about keeping the law to save themselves, what about the past? Because none of us arrive here knowing the law. And we've all sinned, and in that we, as little babies, fake crying just to get attention. We lied. The law says you got to, it's a cursed thing. Cursed is everyone that continueth not. To keep the law is not a way of salvation. Why? Because the law is weak? No, because you can't do it. I can't do it. We cannot do it. It's not a way that will work for mankind to be saved. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The Lord makes it clear, for the just shall live by faith. The Lord said it would be done this way. All the way from the book of Habakkuk, where the Lord says the justified shall live by faith in the Lord and what he has done. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is about doing, not doing, obeying. Follow, follow, follow. Be subject to forever. Do not cross over the line that is laid down by the law. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, this impossibility on our part, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And he did so for sinners, for his people. We were saved. We praise his name that he did so for us. Because we couldn't keep the law. Didn't stand a chance. Also in this is manifested the standard of God. You want to know the standard of God in keeping the law? Christ Jesus. You got to be like him. To save yourself, you got to be like Jesus. That shoots every man, every son of Adam down, just like right now. Because he is perfect. Not was, is. Perfect. That the blessing he was so, he was made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. And see, that's the path he's led us down, led them down. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The good work of God, was that done by the law or by the Spirit of God within you? Within the minister, within the brother, within the sister. Yeah, and it was that promise of the Spirit, it came by faith in the Lord. What the Lord said. What he promised he would do. Just like Abraham was there and the Lord made him promises. And he said, yeah, I believe that. I receive that. I'm going to operate and go forward in that. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. He said, you'll understand this. This is the way it works on the earth. Though it be but a man's covenant. He's talking about the promise made to Abraham. He's talking about promises, covenants that are made amongst the inhabitants of the earth. He said, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, the way it is in the world. Though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. So if Jerry and I have got a deal, well, Brother Mark has nothing to do with it. We got an agreement. We got a promise amongst one another. Brother Derek can't enter into that. Somebody can't come in and say, that's done away with. No, the covenant's between me and Jerry. Brother Doug can't come in there and say, well, you know what, you need to add that to that. So no, the deal is between the two of us. Understand that. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed which is Christ. And this is a reference over to Genesis chapter 22, that where the Lord says, because of Abraham believing God, and being willing to sacrifice Isaac, even though he'd received him, as the New Testament scriptures tell us, he'd received him, as it were, from the dead. I mean, Abraham was 100 years old when he had a son. He should have never been having a son at that age, but the Lord gave him the son of promise. He believed the Lord. He believed that the Lord was able to raise Isaac from the dead even after he would have slain there. What was Abraham's physical action or work? Nothing. He believed God from his heart that what God said he was able to do, even when he told him to go and sacrifice his son. And so the Lord said, you've not withheld even your only son from me. In your seed, all the nations will be blessed. That's what's being referred to here. And he says, with this promise that it was made, he saith not, in the midst of verse 16, unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. The apostle brings that out to give us understanding of the passage all the way back to Genesis 22, that in that singular reference of seed. Singular. He's speaking of Christ. In Him we would be blessed. We would not be blessed in regards to salvation. We would not be blessed in the keeping of the law. It just will not justify us. And this I say, that the covenant between God and Abraham that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which the Galatians are is coming in here and they're wanting to keep for the sake of salvation or finishing salvation, adding to Christ. And this I say, that the covenant between God and Abraham that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, there's kind of a hint on that 430-year reference in the Scripture, cannot disannul. The law that came on Mount Sinai can't unravel what the Lord told Abraham. It doesn't contradict it, trump it, ride up over top of it, replace it. No. Cannot disannul that it should make the promise of God to Abraham of none effect. This promise of faith. For if the inheritance be of the law, so now he switches over to inheritances, again, promises of God to his children, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And so the law doesn't get you an inheritance. The law doesn't get you salvation. The law doesn't give you any standing with God. We can't keep it. The law is good. And it has a purpose on this front end of our spiritual situation. Wherefore then serveth the law? He tells us, it is added because of transgressions, that ours might be shown, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, speaking of seed singular, and it was ordained by angels, messengers, and brother Moses, the prophets, the angels of God bringing it to the earth and to the Lord's ministers. A lot of things that can apply to there. It was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. The mediator, remember Moses said, a prophet like unto me? You know, Moses mediated between God and Israel. In a sense, Moses is a type of Christ to a point. And so he said the word came, and the law came and it was mediated. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, or let's read it without the italicized words. Now a mediator is not of one. The mediator he's speaking about now, that is here with for you and I, he's not just mediating for one person. You know, when I gave the example between a deal between me and Jerry, that was just the two of us. But now he's giving understanding about what Christ is doing. Now a mediator is not of one, but God is one. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And praise God that he is. That is good news. That is wonderful news, isn't it? Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. No, they're not. For if there had been a law given, which could have been given, could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ, and that's Jesus Christ's faithfulness, might be given to them that believe in Him. Jesus is the one that takes care of all the details. You and I need righteousness. We've got none on our own. The law stands here to tell us about what is righteousness, and we can't keep it. What do? We have no help. We have no hope. But Jesus comes, and He keeps it. Still keeping it as a man. Has always kept it as a man. And He mediates. He redeems, all those things that describe Christ. He intercedes. He saves. He visits. He convicts. We've got a Savior. We've got a Savior. And He is our Savior. But the scripture that concluded, but the scripture, verse 22, hath concluded all unto sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ, and see the justified shall live by faith, we will live by Christ's faithfulness, okay, be given to them, the faithfulness of Christ, this is talking about imputation, might be given to them that believe. That's talking about we that believe in Him, in His faithfulness. And so the justified, they do live by faith. The faithfulness of Christ and our faith in Him to do what He's promised He'll do for those that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Before these things were revealed, and that's that the Lord, if you will, in the Scripture, the Old Testament Scriptures, peeling back the onion, telling more about Christ, to when the Gospels He came. Okay? As we look at the Scripture. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should be afterwards be revealed. This is also talking about you and I. Before we believed ourselves, the law was all we had. We were guilty, condemned. And then that afterwards revealed is talking about when Christ came and showed and manifested it all. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Again, His faithfulness and our faith in Him to do what He's promised He will do. So here we come to what we want to see. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We believe in Christ. We don't need that knocking and that whipping and that guiding to direct us into the... Our way won't work. The law is not a savior. It's a guide. It's a director to take us to Christ. And we've got to reckon with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to reckon with His command to repent of our sins before God and believe and trust in Him and His death, burial, and resurrection for us. To believe that He will save those that will come unto Him. He will not cast them out, but He will save those that come unto Him. We're no longer under a schoolmaster. The law had its place to guide us and show us and direct us unto Christ. For ye, verse 26, are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians, brothers and sisters, as members of the churches of Galatia, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not by the keeping of the law. Not by works. Not by righteousness which we have done. Okay? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So here we are again, baptism. What's it speaking about? Well, this chapter, it's been dealing with and telling us and lining out for us, straightening up for the Galatian brothers and sisters, the churches there, straightening up for us about how salvation comes. It's been lining it out, hadn't it? And so here, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Is that talking about this? No, there's some things that happened before that, wasn't there? It's talking again, namely about salvation again, like it was there in Colossians, being buried with Him in baptism. He says here, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ. Into Christ, that's some new terminology. We saw that into one body in 1 Corinthians, where by physical baptism we enter the Lord's church. But here it's speaking about the unity that we have in the Lord, the rescue that we have in the Lord, the becoming unified with Christ, He living within us, have been baptized into Christ. So it's not talking about the physical one. The physical one shows what's happened to us, that we have been baptized into Christ. But that physical baptism didn't do it, did it? No. It tells about what has happened. And what's it say here? For as many, let's back up to verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There's salvation. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, that's a candidate for baptism. You got to have a candidate for baptism that's already in Christ. Okay? But because as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Okay, now let's talk about that. Put on. You know, put on, we see put on when the Scripture talks to us about putting on the whole armor of God. Putting on Christ. And understand that, I think we understand the meaning to this of putting on. It's speaking about the sense of sinking into a garment, to invest with clothing, you know, like you would put a robe on someone, to array or to clothe, to endue. Okay, so that's what it's talking about, is just like we put on a shirt. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, salvation, the visitation of the Lord, the operation of God manifested and worked in the individual, the individual believing and trusting in Christ, have put on Christ. See, there's a real thing that happens in a person. We are not intellectually only saved, but the intellect, the thinking, the emotion, the conscience, what makes you you? When the Lord visited you and showed you your sin and showed you Christ, you said, praise God, by the working of the Lord, you said, yes, He is what I need, who I need. and you said, yes, I receive that. I believe that. I have been changed by that. That is the answer. He is the answer that I have needed. Remember how it was being convicted? Remember how it was being afraid, being scared? And Jesus became the spiritual, emotional, physical, every whit about you answer. It wasn't, I'm saving you now. No, you're not. No, we flee to Christ, don't we? Yeah, we are brought to the end of ourself, and we put on Christ. Now understand, it's not that the Lord is at our whim and will, but we come to total internal agreement with what? The word of the Lord. The conviction of the Spirit. The message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, yes, I'm the sinner that needs saving. I put on Christ. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You know, after salvation, and we're blessed to be around one of the Lord's churches, and we're told by the teaching in the church or by the pastor or that one that's been witnessing to you or whatever, and said, you know, those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they should be baptized to identify with Christ, and are told about what that means and the purpose of that. And pardon me, that's ordained of the Lord Jesus, that's those who are saved should follow in that and join His church and be obedient to Him in that way and follow in that blessed provision of the Lord and learning, serving, growing in obedience. The Lord's church is the design of the Lord for sinners that are saved. That's the way the Lord Jesus planned it. Now, we know mankind does other things, but that's the design. And you know what? When we submit to baptism, we say, Brother Jim, I want to be baptized. Put on Christ. In order to be saved? Oh, no, I'm already saved. Well, why do you want to do that? Well, that's what the Lord says I should do next. We put on Christ. We put on Christ as we learn about Him, don't we? As we learn more about Him, His calling upon us to be a witness of Him. We are immersed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the Scripture say that our attitude should be as the children of God? You are not your own. You're bought with a price. And we put on Christ. Was Christ Jesus, when He became a man, did He operate as His own? No, He came and operated as the Son of God, sent on a mission for the sake of others. What did Jesus ever do for Himself from the time He became a man? In the day that He lived here, the 33 years that He lived here on this earth, He did everything that He did for somebody else. And we put on Him. We put on Him by denying self. We put on Him to glorify Him, to be like Him, to operate like Him and behave like Him. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Can you say, the context of the passage, can you say that the law saved you? Can you say that your works before God, that you would trade into God, can you say that that saved you? No, they don't even compare, do they? What's He say? For as many as of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Ethnicity does not matter. There is neither bond nor free, liberty or slavery. There is neither male nor female, gender, soul. That's what this is all about, is the soul. The soul of the human being. No respecter of persons before God. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And see, there we see that unity again, like in 1 Corinthians, and that we have in Christ and salvation, and then in His church. And if you be Christ, verse number 29, then ye are Abraham's seed. So He takes the beginning of the chapter and brings it in again. If ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Why? You become so by faith in the Lord Jesus, by obeying Him. See, this putting on of Christ is the same thing that the Lord Jesus preached, like in Matthew 7. He said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." That narrow gate, that straight gate and narrow way, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to put Him on to go that way. It's the only way to go that way. That way is Him. Not obedience to the law to gain the pleasure of the Lord, because it cannot be. Putting on Christ is the same as the Lord Jesus Christ declared in John 14:6. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." There's not a half a dozen ways to be saved and go on to glory to be with the Lord, is there? There's only one way, to put on Christ. Luke 7:23. This passage has been on my heart and mind here lately. "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in Me." You say, well, it seems like there ought to be something else. It seems like it ought to be harder than that. It seems like there ought to be another way. It seems like that just doesn't make sense. Don't be offended in Christ. He's the way. Believe Him. Trust Him. Look to Him and Him alone. Not what you can do. You've got nothing. You've got nothing if you're here and you're not saved. When you're saved, we know we have nothing. In and of ourselves, we have nothing. But Christ is the Savior that we have and that we needed and that has us now. And we believe Him. And thereby He is glorified.